It's Thursday, October 25th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 811, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get a free private domain registration with a .com purchase. Use promo code UNLISTED2, or get 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Last show in Texas before I head back to Honolulu. Everyone knows what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There's no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the heartland of Texas via the Geek News Studio, Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran and I am a much, much healthier host tonight, and I have to just first off apologize to everyone for the Monday show. I was thinking about, do I do the show, do I not do the show, but you know, my heart is into this thing and it says the show must go on. And of course, I got all prepped, and it took something with drying my sinuses out and make sure I didn't have a cough, and a lot of good it did me because I'm still fighting a cough. The sinuses are pretty much good, but I apologize for the last show, and I rightfully so cut it short. And so we got a lot to talk about on this show tonight. And I'm ready to go home. I've had enough of Texas, and my kids need me. Wife wants me home, and I'm going to be very much ready to head out of here and get back to Honolulu and get back to the studio. As well, of course, we'll be doing two shows in Hawaii, and then yes, I am right back on the road. I tell you, this is an interesting time of year for me, and some things going on, and really when the sun shines, you got to make hay when the sun shines, essentially, and that's what it's all about right now at this point. Hey, if you're new to the show and you're checking us out for the very first time, of course I want to encourage you to definitely come over and check out Geek News Central. Come over to the website, give it a shot, check it out, and of course we've got great writers putting content up on a daily basis with all kinds of new and great tech content. And of course we want you to get subscribed to the show as well. It's real easy to do so by basically there's an orange box there in the second column of the website that has the iTunes link and the RSS feed as well, so you can get subscribed. And of course there's a newsletter link at the top of the page as well, where you can get signed up for our newsletter so that you get the show notes, everything that I'm going to cover during the show, delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. So definitely check that out and get subscribed to the show, and we definitely appreciate it. Well, I tell you, I'm dual streaming tonight. I'm pushing on live stream as well. So using a handy dandy MiFi card to push the live stream. We're using a Clear to push the primary show tonight. And of course we're not up on the Amazon stream. I need to try to probably get that set up so that we can use the Amazon stream on the road as well. I have a tendency just to use Ustream while I'm traveling. But just give you a little update here. Don't forget that you can, if you're listening to the show on the website, or if you're watching via an iPad or however it may be, and it doesn't matter if you're live or not, you can watch the show later on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. So don't forget that you can get the show on those devices. And, of course, we're available on almost every other device known to man. And don't forget as well that the contact info is real easy here. All you got to do to reach out to me on Twitter is at Geek News. The email address is geeknews@gmail.com. You can send a comment right from the website at geeknewscentral.com, or you can call our hotline at 619-342-7365. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, let me take just a minute here and thank our sponsors. Of course, I want to thank initially up GoDaddy.com for being a sponsor here at the show. And I tell you, we've got some great deals for you on GoDaddy this month. And I really want you to pay attention to these, because these are going to save you a lot of money. And this one is going to expire here in just a few days. You can get a private registration, in other words, a private.com registration, by using my promo code UNLISTED2 when you purchase a .com. And this is really going to help you save a lot of cash. It really is. And so definitely give that code a try, UNLISTED2, when you go pick up a .com. And what you can do with this private registration is it allows you to really kind of set up a website and do some stuff with a .com where maybe you don't want someone knowing exactly who you are. So this is a great way to do that. As well, we've got a special offer where you can get 20% off your purchase by using promo code GO20OFF2. So when you get to the checkout counter, you can use that promo code and save 20% off your entire order, whatever you may be picking up. Now, don't forget, when you come back over to geeknewscentral.com, you scroll down the website, you're going to see the GoDaddy promo code graphic. If you click on that, that's going to give you all the promo codes that I have for you to use. I think there's about 14 of them there. There's a code for every occasion, and we want you definitely to use a code, save money, mix and match them, try to use them in multitudes of different ways, share them with friends, family members, people that you know. I'm not going to go so far as to say is write the code on the bathroom wall, because that would be illegal, but share my codes, and it really helps the show, and essentially it helps me keep the lights on, keep my family fed, and continues to allow us to do the great things that we do here at Geek News Central. So we want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor of the show, and we, of course, want you guys to definitely check out all their products and services. So let me go ahead and just chat just a few minutes here. Podcast Awards, the slate is complete. The slate is off to the accountant for basically their cross-check of everything. A lot of work went into the slate, and I've reviewed the slate already, and an interesting load of shows this year, and we've got some great things that are going to be happening with the Podcast Awards, and I've got up on the podcastawards.com website right now, and let me actually show this to you guys. I've got the, pushed it twice, I've got the a video of Leo Laporte and announcing his appearance at New Media Expo, and also the announcement that he's going to be our MC for the Podcast Awards ceremony. So I'm really excited about announcing the slate. I'm going to do that this coming Sunday, October 28th at 9 p.m. Eastern. You're going to want to tune into the podcastawards.com website. We will be up live, and we'll make that announcement with all the shows that have made the slate, and then voting will start shortly thereafter on November 1st. So we look forward to making the slate announcement and getting you guys all ramped up, and all the listeners worldwide ramped up to essentially go ahead and promote and vote for the show that you feel that deserves to win from that specific slate. So what else is happening here? Been a busy week. Real, real busy week. Didn't help that I, basically lost a couple of days because I was just, oh man, I was feeling bad, 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 bad. But hopefully it's the flu bug or whatever it is, and I won't get it the rest of the year. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, because it just was a low-grade thing. It just drove me nuts, but you guys don't want to hear about that anymore. But, another thing, too, there's nothing worse than being sick away from home, because you don't have all your normal remedies there. You don't have all your stuff that you can go pull out and use, and nothing like being sick in a hotel room just sucks to no end. I got to watch plenty of TV, which is something I normally don't do. at the same time while I needed to be doing a lot of other things. But that's the way it works. Okay, of course, we want to thank all of you, Hanna, again, for all of you for out there. We thank you for your support of the show. And, of course, we want to thank our good friends over at Citrix GoToMeeting. We want to thank them for their support of the show. Well, and I tell you what, there's some new stuff coming with GoToMeeting and HT Faces, and I'm really, I can't wait to tell you guys about it next week. But here's the thing. You know, being in business and being successful in business, you have to work really, really hard. And you have to meet with your team, and you have to have open communications. And, you know, really, you have to discuss plans and share ideas, and doing so helps you bring those ideas to life. My team is spread out across the United States, and we have to really communicate openly and work hard. Matter of fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about a thing that caused some great communication with us here a few days ago with Amazon. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But managing your team and staying abreast of everything is really important. And oftentimes you can't do that just over the phone. And you have to, can't always meet face-to-face. So that's unless you're using GoToMeeting with HT Faces. It's a powerful and really simple way to meet and collaborate with your team or a client online. GoToMeeting with HT Faces gives you and your team the ability to share the same screen, making it easier to all of you to being on the same page. And when you meet face-to-face, you're more likely to see eye-to-eye on topics you've already discussed. So it's easy to launch or join a meeting from anywhere, and I mean anywhere. And really, this is the way I do business effectively, and it is a absolute essential piece of my arsenal at Raw Voice and what I do here at Geek News Central and everything else. So what I want you to do is I want you to try GoToMeeting for free. And this is just a piece of cake. It really is. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Okay, click on that Try It Free button. And it's going to load a page there. And all you got to do is you enter your name and enter the promo code. But more importantly, go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Again, use the promo code podcast. That's going to get you that free 30-day trial. And you're supporting the show, supporting me by doing that. And of course, you're going to get access to an absolutely fantastic product. I absolutely love GoToMeeting, and I know that you guys will love it when you try it and use it. And, you know, give it a run for the money. Let me know what you think about it, and fire me an email. Tell me your comments about it. We'd love to hear your feedback as well. So thanks to GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. Well, let me go ahead and talk a little bit about what happened on, what day was it? Was it Monday or Tuesday? No. What it was just before I was finishing the show, Angelo, our CIO at Raw Voice, you know, he's you know, just banging my phone bad. He's ringing it. And I'm, you know, he doesn't call 4 or 5 times. And so, I'm getting a little nervous because something's going on. And so, I got done with the show and I called him up and he says, hey, he said, Amazon has went down. And I'm like, what do you mean Amazon's went down? He says, well, the hosting center that we're in is down. Of course, the first thing that comes to my mind is, did all of our failovers for our critical services work? So I said, did the failover for the stat system and the CDN, is that all working? So yeah, we're still serving media. The stat server fell over. And basically what happens is we have a redirect server, multiple redirect servers, so that when someone in one of our 13,000 plus clients clicks on their download link in iTunes or clicks on a page, or all these customers are using our stat system, that cannot go down ever. And what happens is when we have a server outage, which happens in almost every data center at some point or another, and a very few data centers have never had a failure. So you said one, and you hope that they don't, but once in a while one will happen. So it was our time to be the fish in the barrel. So as soon as the server went down, we have a service that's basically sitting there and heart beating the server. and it heartbeats. It says, oh, I didn't see you. And it heartbeats again. Hey, I didn't see you again. And heartbeat again three. Oh, you're not there no more. And it basically triggers an event that automatically we call it failover. And through our DNS provider, we basically can switch the server on demand. And it takes a couple of minutes for that to make the switch over and for the DNS update. We have our DNS timeout time set real short. So essentially, within about 2 minutes, everything's on the backup server. And we're up and running, and we're not down from serving media. And this is really about as fast as we can make it happen where we have multiple data centers set up. So now that number two server's up and running, we have to obviously get number one back up, but we also have to double check and make sure number three is waiting, because we have a third server sitting there kind of it's waiting for number two to fail if there's something real catastrophic. So that's good. CDN's good. I'm like, okay, let's relaunch a new instance in another zone, and let's get the rest of the services back up. And what we tried to do was bring up another server, another zone, but we couldn't. It was like Amazon's control panel was locked down. We had snapshots of the server. And one thing that we learned is we need to do our snapshots more often. We were doing a snapshot every 12 hours. What we're going to do now is we're doing a snapshot of the entire site every 30 minutes. So what will happen if this happens again is we'll be able to recover and come up on another zone. Now, cloud computing is not, Amazon's had a couple of hiccups, and, you know, but all in large, they've done a pretty good job. You know, and I've had, obviously my personal servers are all sitting over at GoDaddy, and I've been lucky in some of the things that I've done with the way I have my system set up that I've had very, very little downtime itself, but it's very expensive to have multiple servers just sitting there waiting, doing nothing. And, you know, I looked at the cost, 3 years ago, we looked at the cost and said, okay, what is the impact, and can we afford to be down for a little while we're spooling up new servers? We know the critical services have to fail over immediately. Those have, you know, so we put the infrastructure in for that. But for our other side of stuff, where we would have basically people being accessed blueberry.com and our publishing system, all of that was what I kind of deemed not as critical, because I figured we could get the system back up and online in a very short order. Well, very short order for us was like 10 hours. That was completely unacceptable. So we've went back to the drawing board, and I've talked with Angelo, and I said, okay, let's incur this expense and this expense to make sure that we are going to get back online. And really what kicked our butts, it was the MySQL database and getting that back up and running. And so what we're going to do now is a multi-honed, where we're going to have a service that's going to clone our MySQL databases across multiple servers, so that when a node goes down, another node can take over on the other part. It's going to cost me a lot of money to do that, but it's one of those things where you're at a certain point in your business growth, and you have to say, okay, this has got to happen. You know, you look at what happened to Netflix, and we weren't the only ones. Reddit got took out. A variety of large sites basically collapsed underneath the impact of what was going on. And some of them got up quicker than we did. And I think we were actually one of the last set of domains to get back online, largely because we end up having a corrupt one of our images end up being corrupt and an Amazon destroyed. Now, thank God for backups, because we were able to pull that backup in as soon as we could access the control panel. And it was like, boom, we were almost immediately online. Angelo was about having a absolute fit, because we thought we had planned well enough to, you know, basically avoid this big of an impact, but we had not. So basically, we're going to go back, and we already have. We've implemented some stuff already. But it just goes to show you that anything you do, it's not always completely effective. And sometimes you have to learn trial by fire. It's not fun to learn trial by fire at all. But sometimes that's what happens. And, you know, we sent out emails to our customers that were affected and apologized to them. You know, it's going to cost us some money on giving some refunds and stuff like that. But, you know, you got to do what you got to do to take care of your clients. But boy, what an expensive set of circumstances that we are now going to have to implement just because you can't completely trust the cloud. Now, you can't completely trust dedicated servers sitting in a rack either. And hard drives break, fans go out, boxes overheat. You know, it's just hardware, you know. And sometimes hardware is hardware. And, you know, there's only so much you can do. Now, if you're a Google or you're a Microsoft or you're a big company that have multiple millions of dollars or billions of dollars, you know, you can have whole data centers to yourself. I'm a small company. And when you're talking about adding, you know, another 4 or 5 servers, you know, that's another, you know, that's a significant amount of money every month, the $2,000-$3,000 of additional cost, maybe as much as $5,000 of additional cost a month. And that's real cash. So anyway, just thought I'd share that with you guys and what happened with us with Amazon in their outage. And it's just, you know, what can you do, right? And we're lucky most of our clients were, pretty cooperative and didn't, you know, they were pretty nice. And so it's just one of those things where we've had to shake things out. All right, let me go ahead and get into the regular full-blown content tonight. Again, we want to thank all of you for being here. And just saw someone check in on chat. Hey, from Dallas. Dallas, going to be up in your neck of the woods tomorrow afternoon. So I hope you're doing good. All right, well, let me see here. Let me go through my list here. Did I get everything covered that I needed to get covered? I did. And let's go ahead and save that. We'll close that for right now so we can free up a little few resources here on the PC. But those of you on live stream watching, thanks for being here. Of course, those of you on Ustream watching, thanks as well. Looks like we're holding the data rates just fine tonight, which is good. Well, today's a big day for Windows 8. And there's just news everywhere on what's going on with obviously the launch of Windows 8. And Microsoft, of course, is a nice achievement for them where they're at, and they put out a whole series of posts and pictures, and you know, there's some cool stuff here. You know, basically showing the layout of their launch set. And of course, Steve Ballmer making the discussion points and showing off Surface and Windows 8 and everything else, the tablets and the computers. And so it was a big, big affair all over the world today with the launch of Windows 8. Here, it's gonna, in a few hours, you're going to be able to order online, download. So, you know, it's everywhere, Tokyo, Singapore, here in the United States, in Europe. They had lots of things for Windows 8 launch. This is a big, big deal for Microsoft and where they're at. And this, of course, has gotten coverage just about everywhere. I'm not going to go into what the operating system does and how it works, because there's already a million articles out there and how-tos. But I'm going to point some stuff out in the show tonight. I'll have up in the show notes at gncshownotes.com. We're going to have I picked some cream of the crop type stuff for you. And let me go ahead and kind of go through some of the things I'm going to link you to. I'm going to link you to an article over on Ars Technica that talks about the debut and shows off some great pictures from the launch. I'm going to have a couple of articles that talks about upgrade options that you're going to be able to implement on your computers if you decide to upgrade. Of course, pricing is out. We'll have information on pricing and everything else. But there was a few things that did kind of come out that I wanted to share with you. If you are a Media Center user, Microsoft is going to give away Media Center upgrade to all Windows 8 Pro users until January 31st. So if you're buying Windows 8 Pro, Pro, you're going to get Media Center for free with that purchase. Along with that, I'm going to have linked up a live blog that you can go through and read the highlights from the folks at GigaOM. They were in the audience during the introduction of Windows 8, and I have that available for you to review the highlights on. Now, one thing that Steve Ballmer did say that I found pretty interesting as I was watching the live stream today was that he said Microsoft obviously plans to produce more hardware. They say they're going to come out with more hardware. And we know this hasn't gone over very well with the OEMs and the different traditional hardware partners. So, he did an interview with BBC News and reiterated this as well, saying, hey, we're going to continue. So it goes to show that they are serious about Windows 8, the brand, the hardware. And I've got my Surface will be in Honolulu tomorrow. I basically have the tracking number and everything already. I'm not going to be home to grab it. I told my wife it's coming. Make sure she has someone there to sign for it so that I can play with it upon my arrival at 12:38 Honolulu Standard Time on Saturday. So so I'm excited to get my hand on and play with it. And we'll have a full report, obviously, on Monday's show, if everything goes right and I don't miss the delivery. Now, if you're a Mac user, there is a warning by the folks from Parallels. They're warning users not to upgrade to Windows 8 until it finalizes testing. They say that new virtual machine installation should be problem-free, but the upgrade could be a challenge, so be aware of that. This advisory was sent out. And they're saying, hey, be careful. Just wait for us for a few days while we're able to make sure that everything's going to work. For those of you that are Mac users, they're going to upgrade to Windows 8. So there's lots of articles out on Windows 8 upgrading your hardware and some options available and basically talk about specs that you're going to need and cost. And, you know, this is it time to go out and buy a new PC? You know, if you have been on a PC now for a number of years and you look at the price of PCs today, this might be the time to upgrade your machine and actually go out and pick up a new product. And I'm sure there's going to be lots of great new laptops and desktops available as well. So a few sites have really done some deep diving into Windows 8. Talking about the entire, showing you a step-by-step upgrade install experience, looking at Windows RT, a whole bunch of in-depth articles that I have linked for you tonight as well. Last thing, and probably one thing that's most important for me, is what apps are going to be available. And I'm a big book reader, so Amazon has introduced the Kindle app for Windows 8, so that's going to be available for you to basically get you access to your books via the Amazon store. You're going to be able to buy stuff right there as well. None of those restrictions on buying on the app is in place on Microsoft's platform as it is in Apple's. So that's big news. So anyway, big congratulations to Microsoft. And of course, if you want to go stand in line to get a Surface tomorrow morning, there's plenty of interest in the Surface tablet, but Windows is basic, or Microsoft is saying, hey, if you're one of the first 100 folks to line up at stores on their big launch day, they're going to give $100 credit towards a full year of Xbox Music Pass to the first 100 people lined up at Microsoft stores when they open Friday morning. So I don't know where Microsoft stores are. I haven't seen any. So you're going to have to Google for a location and see if one's in your area. But I'm sure you're going to see lots of hands-on reports on Surface tomorrow morning. So anyway, that was what we kind of wanted to cover on Windows 8. We have some stuff to cover about the Mac announcements here and a little later in the show. But as a reminder, as always, hey, you guys can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. Email is geeknews@gmail.com. The hotline is 619-342-7365. I'm live here in the heartland of Texas and looking forward to getting on an aircraft and going back to Honolulu Saturday morning. Seen an article talking about more than 2,000 Twitter partners adding interactivity to tweets. And I was kind of looking at this and I'm thinking, how can you become a partner so that you can embed this content? So Twitter users can see tweets enriched with everything from SoundCloud audio to CNN presentations, and weather channel type stuff. So I guess you have to be a big boy to be a partner. But I'm going to dig into this a little bit more because I think there's an opportunity here for content creators like me if we can figure out how to become a partner with Twitter in order to basically put this interactive stuff in our tweets. I think it would be really cool to be able to basically tweet the show so that you could actually play the show right in the actual tweet itself. I think that would be pretty cool, but I'm going to dig around and see if I can find more information on that about. All right, how many of you pre-print your boarding pass before you get on the aircraft? Now, when I'm home, I do that. I take it to, what's going on? Check connection. Why are you blinking? Okay. Yes. Uh-oh. I guess the live stream broadcast went offline. And that's no good. So let's see if we can restart this. See if that will happen. No. Let's go ahead and see if that will take off again. May have been pushing it too hard. It's working now. It just who knows? So anyway, let's go back to the boarding passes. Smartphones can read boarding pass barcodes. And I guess within those barcodes, there is data that the TSA don't necessarily want you to see. It contains data on exactly what's going to be done to you when you go through security. So the barcodes reveal exactly which checks are going to be you're going to be facing when you go into the security line. So you think about this. This is big. So now a terrorist can print his boarding pass. He can then go to the airport and know whether or not he is going to get a secondary screening or if he's already scheduled for a secondary screening. This is horrendous that they did not encode or encrypt what is in the barcode. So, say you can use an ordinary smartphone, can do the barcode reading. And this obviously could undermine the U.S. pre-check system, you know, where it randomly picks on which flyers are able to skip part of the entire boarding security shebang. And so this is big. And they don't go into a lot of details on how this is actually being accomplished. But I guess when I get my next printed out boarding pass, I will scan it with my iPhone and see what it has to say. So if you get a boarding pass in your, matter of fact, I've got some older boarding passes. I'm going to have to play with it and give it a try and see what they do because I keep those for a while. So let me pull one out and I'll try it at the end of this. I actually probably can't do it tonight at the end of the show, but I'll play with it and see and report back to you on the next podcast. All right, switching gears here. The Department of Justice, and this is an article over on TechDirt. The Department of Justice is hinting at additional charges against Kim.com if he launches Megabox. And their pretension here is that part of his bail was basically him agreeing that he shouldn't be doing any type of illegal activities. So this is an interesting development here. Basically, defense counsel claim that the corporate defendant can and should be allowed to operate undermines the sworn statements of .com that he has no plans or ability to continue to operate or fund the business in the indictment during pendency of the extradition process if defendant.com intentionally misled the court in New Zealand about his intentions and capabilities and toward his release from pre-extradition confinement. It seems the defense counsel representation might endanger .com's bail situation or even subject him to additional charges. So here's the deal. He's not he's launching a completely different business, a different name. In a sense, it's almost the same service. But what do you guys think? Can the U.S. Department of Justice actually get him put back in jail? So are they going to charge him with a new charge with this new business? Can they do that? I think they're stretching. And I don't know if they have a legitimate claim for getting a case against him basically put back in jail or not. But they're definitely not happy with his movement here. And the Department of Justice also is using this as an opportunity to try to block Megalopolis from using its law firm, claiming that because the lawyers are arguing for the case against Megalopolis to be dismissed, this might lead to .com to launch something new that there's a conflict of interest. So I don't know how this all works out from a legal standpoint. We'll see. But it's definitely one of those deals where they're pre-warning .com not to move forward with the plan to launch the new site. I don't think they're going to have much choice. I think he's going to do what he wants to do. And, you know, the best way to do it is not be on the business, not be a legal owner. You know, there's multiple. He can be a promoter and not an owner. This guy's so over the top that I'm sure he is just going to go after the DOJ in a big way on this one. So we'll see where this one leads. All right, let me go ahead and let's talk here about the Mac event that happened earlier in the week. And I have to admit, the new iMac, wow. Have you seen the design on this thing? Simply incredible. And I'm looking at this, and I'm trying to really get a close-up view on it. How did they make this thing so thin? Now, I haven't seen the back of it yet, but incredible. Absolutely stunning. This is an amazing design. It really, I have to applaud the folks at Apple. You know, it's hard not to. Looking at a full-blown, this thing is, it's thin. It's thin as a TV, and they've got a whole computer in there. You know, how do they embed all this? I'm really just, I am pretty much set back. It's pretty stunning. It really is. And pretty sexy, pretty expensive. Not surprising. But wow. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback on this one, on what you think of the design. Just the design of the new iMac alone is pretty incredible. Of course, let's talk about the iPad mini. You know, I think the size is decent. You know, I'm looking at it and I watched some videos and did the demo. You know, it looks nice, but the price seems high to me with just the Wi-Fi version alone at over $300. You know, I thought to myself, man, why couldn't they have competed? And I think what it is they don't care to compete. They don't have to compete. They don't want to compete. They don't care. They really don't. And, you know, this I guess shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us that have been following what Apple's been doing for a number of years. And of course, they released the new Mac Mini and of course the iPad 4. The iPad 4 to me is kind of like a ho-hum type of upgrade. And not so, for me at least, not compelling enough to even consider upgrading. It's got the faster processor, but not a lot of other great features. But I think one thing that is important here, and let me show this to you guys, is the actual size of the screen, the actual resolution of the screen. And I'm a little bit underimpressed by the iPad mini. The iPad mini has a resolution of 1024 by 768. And it has, compared to Nexus 7, Nexus 7 has 1280x800. The Nook has 1440x900. Of course, the size is a little bit different from a size standpoint, but the iPad 3rd and 4th generation obviously have the 2048x1536 pixels. And, you know, I'm looking at the iPad mini, and I know they had to keep the cost down, but, you know, compared to the Nexus 7, you know, the Nexus 7 is a 7-inch screen. The iPad mini is a 7.9-inch screen. So the Nexus 7 has, again, 1280x800 as compared to 1024x768 on the iPad mini, which is 4x3. That's not 16x9. Okay, so just think about that for a second. In order to get 16x9, if you think about it, 640x360 can be a 16x9, but you go 1280x720 to get a minimum of a 16x9, and that's the Nexus 7, 1280x800. So, you know, they're really at the above 720p, and then the Nook HD is 1440x900. So, you know, it's doing 720 as well, or above, actually. And so, you know, if you look at the resolution on the iPad mini, and again, let's go back to, I think really what you got to look at is this comparison, and this was done on GawkerAssets.com. That's really telling on the resolution. Now, the folks are saying, it looks better, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think I want to buy a device anymore that does 4x3. It just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. And if you consider the Apple second gen, which has a 9.7-inch screen, you know, it again is a 1024x768 resolution. So, I don't know. What do you guys think about the iPad mini? For me, it just is not compelling enough to even consider to purchase. Some people may think differently, but if you bought one, why? I want to hear from you. Why did you buy the mini? And, of course, you can email me here at geeknews@gmail.com or tweet me at geeknews. Again, email me at geeknews@gmail.com. Now, Bloomberg is reporting that Apple online radio service is going to be challenging Pandora in 2013. Apparently, Apple and major labels have intensified negotiations to start an advertising-supported streaming radio service by early next year. So we'll see where this goes and if they are able to pull this off and make it happen. It's all about them not wanting us to own any more media, folks. They don't. They want you to stream everything, do it on demand, have it in the cloud, you know, so it's about that reoccurring cash register going ring, 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 ring every time you have to buy media again. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the Beatles, a.k.a. Apple Corp. logo, is now a registered trademark of Apple. So, you know, the Beatles have held the trademark on Apple for many, many, many years. And apparently now they've done a licensing deal, and the entire Apple is now the registered trademark of good old Apple.com. And it appears that the folks over at Apple have paid a huge sum of money to the Beatles label in order to license and basically hold the patent. And they spent $500 million. This is pretty huge to buy out the logo. So they use some of their hard-earned cash for that. And so congratulations to Apple for now having, you can't even probably even say Apple anymore without infringing, right? Would you like you can't say Macintosh either. That's a type of Apple, right? What else different? A Fuji? Oh, yes, we can say Fuji. Oh, that's another company. Oh, man. So, I guess we can't show apples anywhere on our websites anymore. But we may be, we might be infringing. Someone's asking me in chat here, any expectations on the Surface before using it? I don't know. I'm keeping my expectations low. Being that I've never used a Windows Phone 7, I really don't know what to expect. I'm just going to leave myself open-minded. I kind of understand that it's a little bit underperforming. It's not as snappy as some people wish it would be. But I'm just going to have to kind of see, you know, how it operates. And believe me, I'm going to give you an honest assessment of it as soon as I, get some time on it and play with it and see how well it works and how much it ends up costing me buying different apps to duplicate stuff I do on my PC. So, you know, what it preloads with is going to be big. I want to be able to really kind of see how it compares apples to oranges or apples to Microsoft when it comes to, you know, app loadout, default app loadout, and what it's available out of the box. Hey, I do want to cover a couple more things on the Microsoft announcement and specifically talk about Apple Fusion Drive. And, you know, there was Apple announced this new feature called Fusion Drive for its latest iMac. And a lot of the details were kind of fuzzy, and that was my big thing I wanted to dig around and find out about. But it's basically Apple's trying to provide its users with SSD performance most of the time in high capacity, with high capacity at the same time. So what they've done is it uses two drives. It uses a 128 gig SSD drive and a mechanical disk as well. So if you're using, it's basically kind of like a hybrid here, so called Fusion. And it is not an HDD/SSD drive where the SSD is part, is more or less a cache, but basically what they've done here, it's not a caching mechanism. That's why they want to be very careful on how people define it. So the Fusion is truly two independent disks which are bound together as one by the operating system. And the operating system is going to decide where to put the data. If it's something that you're using all the time, it's going to put in the SSD. Or it's something that requires a lot of processes, it'll put it there in that 128 gigs in the SSD. And then if it doesn't need to be over there, they'll put it in the hard drive part. So it's going to operate, it's going to kind of be transparent to you. It's going to back up like it does with Time Machine as well. You're going to be able to create additional partition on the hard drive itself, not the SSD. You are going to be able to create a Windows partition like Bootcamp. So it's kind of interesting what they're going to be able to do with this. But be aware that there is going to be some limitations. You're going to need to ask because Bootcamp won't work on all models of the iMac. So there's an official FAQ page that I'm going to have linked up that I want you guys to look at if you're thinking about buying this new iMac and wanting to use it as a double for a Windows machine, just so you know what you're facing here with this hybrid. And I'm almost betting it's going to cause issues for people that are trying to use an iMac as also a Windows machine. So here we are. We're on the iPad 4. We're same thing with the iPhone. We're iPhone 6 or whatever, truly, or iPhone 5, but it's really iPhone 6. Apple is a company is brilliant in that every year it makes our products obsolete, and it's true that way with any of the computers that you buy. What you buy today in 1 year is obsolete. This machine I have here, this Dell XPS, it's obsolete. You know, it's going on a year plus old. It doesn't have USB 3.0. You know, so there's a bunch of things it doesn't have and that I wish it had, but I'm not going to go out and spend. You know, actually, this machine was pretty inexpensive. I'm not going to go out and buy another computer just because there's something new and shiny out on the Dell side. But for some reason, we're in this mode with Apple products. Gotta have it, right? And, I've been guilty on the iPad part. You know, we've got two iPad 1s at home. We have a single iPad 2. We have two iPad 3s. So, you know, I'm guilty on the iPad department, largely because I didn't buy all the iPads myself. Raw Voice bought a couple of them. But in all honesty, you look at your budget, and if you try to keep up, you're going to just, what do you got to do? Set away $2,000 or $3,000 a year for gadget upgrades? And it doesn't make financial sense for the majority of people in this country. You know, most of us, try to make laptops last a long time and run them until they break. And same thing with different devices. And if you're careful, they'll last a long time. You know, our iPad 1s, my kids still use them, and they love it. My son plays games on it, and he doesn't know the difference between the iPad 1 and the iPad 3. He does, but he doesn't complain. Apple doesn't care about its competition, and they don't care about their customers from you're going to have to pay us again mode. They know they've got a sexy product, so they use that psychic against all of us. And it's really hard. You go by an Apple store and you walk in and you touch the new one and you play with it, and what happens is, I gotta get my credit card out, and you walk out of the store and then you're like, why did I do that, right? And we've all made one or two of those purchases in our lifetimes, and my thing is just stay away from the store. But Apple they're working in iOS 6 trying to make some improvements to their map system, which sucks. And they say they're working nonstop to fix issues. I guess if you live in Brooklyn, you now can see the Brooklyn Bridge, and you're not, there's actually a picture of it now instead of, something weird. So I guess they fixed that and some other things as well. Hey, did you see Michael Arrington is now again posting? He's a paid blogger at TechCrunch. Yes, I said Michael Arrington is now again blogging at TechCrunch. I guess AOL, probably this is what happened. TechCrunch numbers were going good. Michael stepped away, and the numbers started dropping and dropping and dropping. And someone at AOL is probably getting worried and more worried about their big investment. And they said, Michael, we need you back. And Michael said, oh, I'll come back, but you're going to have to pay me a big amount of money to come back and blog. So I guess he's going to be blogging 2 or 3 times a week at TechCrunch. Cash. It's all about the cash. It's all about the money. That's what it's all about. It's really what it's all about. They've dropped in their prominence. The Verge is kicking TechCrunch's butt, Engadget's butt, Gizmodo's butt. They're rocking it. And look at the team behind everyone at The Verge. They're all rock stars over there in the tech world. And that's going to be, they're the official tech coverage of CES, and I don't think we have any title per se. So talking with the team, we're like, we got to do more than The Verge does. We have to put out more content. So we're all challenged up to making sure we have more content. And thing is, it's an uphill battle to compete against those types of sites. And those of you that listen to the show and watch our content and watch our live stuff at CES, I know that you like it. And it's all a matter of a budget on how big and beautiful of a set you can have. And believe me, we're doing the best we can. But it is one of those things that if I had an unlimited budget, we would have an unlimited studio. But those things don't exist. And we're just a bunch of independent content creators working to do the best things that we can. And it's hard to compete against a well-funded machine. But I want you guys to stay right here. Don't go anywhere, okay? All right, so let's talk about Imgur. They're getting up to 1.2 billion daily image views. And they're adding lots of new features. So if you have been using Imgur at all, or if you haven't been over there a while, you definitely want to check it out. The folks over at Time have announced 25 best blogs of 2012. That's at Time's annual tribute to the best in blogging, covers everything from economics of gadgets to the Civil War to Kate Middleton's fashions. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check it out. Hey, you know, a Russian upper stage that failed earlier this year has exploded in orbit. And this has created hundreds of fragments that could really complicate things with space debris. The Breeze-M upper stage exploded on October 16th while in an elliptical orbit, approximately 266 by 5,000 kilometers. The stage had been stranded in the orbit since August when the stage failed during the third of four planned engine firings designed to place the two satellites it was carrying into a geosynchronous orbit. So now they're really worried because this could impact the International Space Station, because it's right in that same zone, per se. So anyway, I'll have the link up in the show notes on that. Soyuz has launched and docked at the International Space Station. This is they've had a no issue launch and docking, and they also took 32 fish to the International Space Station. I don't know if they're going to eat the fish after they get done experimenting with them, but they're taking 32 fish to the International Space Station for some sort of experiment about fish and zero G's. That should be kind of interesting to watch, yeah? Redbox and Warner Brothers have agreed to a 28 delay on disc rentals. So if you're looking for new releases, you're going to be able to still get them from Warner Brothers 28 days after they are come out from the movies. So that's a win for Redbox. I don't know how much they paid to make that happen, but definitely that's definitely a negative to the folks at Netflix. For those of you that are guitar players, I'm not, but I saw this today and I thought, whoa, look at this. And this was over on Engadget, so let me bring that up for you, those of you watching. Check this out. It's a pickup on a guitar. That, and this is not an electrical guitar, this is acoustic guitar, that will allow you to have a touch control of 96 simultaneous harmonics. And this thing is pretty cool. It's an R&D unit, and they're going to start beta testing it. But basically, guitar players are going to be able to do some harmonics with their acoustic guitars by basically putting a pickup that's going to install running where a normal bridge would go. This thing's pretty cool. I was looking at it, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be awesome. So for those of you that are guitar players, lots of cool stuff coming from a technology standpoint, and we'll keep an eye on this when it comes out. All right, another article over on Engadget is about an app called Pocket, and many of you that have been using this in the Android already are familiar with it. Pocket has had, I guess, a strong presence on iOS and Android and other platforms for quite some time, but today the service formerly known as Read It Later announces making its way to a bigger screen. Naturally, Pocket's new application isn't much, so basically you can put it on the Mac itself now. So if you are a user of Pocket, I've never played with this, but I guess it's a pretty cool app. So it's available again for a Mac along with iOS and Android devices. I don't want to, of course, remind you that over at Geek News Central, the latest edition of, let me turn this little box off. The latest edition of Robot Underpants is out, and I fully expect to see the latest edition of The Gadget Professor. Did I guys tell you that The Gadget Professor came out to Honolulu? We had dinner, or lunch, actually. Spent a couple hours chatting. I had a friend, they were there on vacation. And I had a great time with the Gadget Professor when he was out in Hawaii. It was just a couple days before, actually one day before I left to come out here to Texas. But don't forget, Robot Underpants, episode number 72 is available today. Not always child safe, okay? Be aware. Pogo Plug. You know, I've been using Pogo Plugs for a number of years. And Andrew did a great article on the Pogo Plug Mobile. And you're thinking, what is the Pogo Plug a Mobile? Well, I'm going to let you go and review it yourself so you can check it out. He's got a great review of it and how it works and how to implement it, and basically having your own cloud. This is a great review Look forward to it. Hey, one thing I am going to be doing is I was contacted today. I'm going to be starting to beta test a LG Optimus, some sort of LG Optimus phone. It's an Android phone, and I guess I'll get it in a couple of weeks. I've been asked to play with it through the end of the year. So I'm going to be getting that phone and going to be running it through its paces, and I'll be sharing information about the phone with you guys. I don't get any compensation or anything. This is just a review unit that's being sent over for me to talk about. But I look forward to talking about this device. You know, LG, you know, you don't hear about them a lot in the mobile space, so it's going to be interesting to see how this phone performs. And so any of you got a, I don't know if it's an Optimus G, it's whatever their best phone is. And that's what I'm going to be getting. So anyway, we'll keep you advised on that. As well, they're already coming out with Bluetooth devices for the Mini. So I can't imagine how close these keyboards are. It's got to be tight. But anyway, link will be up on that in the show notes. All right, last couple of articles here tonight. The Vista Telescope. Are you guys familiar with this? The Vista Telescope camera can grab 9 gigapixels worth of stars. That's incredible. Now, this telescope is in Chile, but amazing. If you think about that, this does a staggering 67 million pixels. And it's got to be incredible. And they're generating 200 to 300 gigabit of data per night. I haven't seen any of these pictures. There was none in the link in this article. If I can find some, I'll put some up in the show notes. Well, Amazon is cheap, but apparently they're losing money. They lost $274 million on $13.8 billion worth of stuff being sold. So something is wrong. And somewhere they're losing cash. But anyway, their earnings report was out today, and they're getting hammered in after-hours trading tonight. So we'll probably have to see what the earnings call has to say. Also, I heard there was an outage on iMessage this evening. Don't know how long that lasted or who was affected, but heard that was out. And final article of tonight is another earnings call. Apple has posted $8.2 billion in profit on $36 billion in revenue for quarter four 2012, still missing the Wall Street expectations. Now think about that. They made $8.2 billion in profit. That's how much they put in the bank, and Wall Street's still not happy. A bunch of greedy bastards, don't you think? My goodness. All right, let me go ahead and look and see what I've got for emails that have come in. And actually, I think we had a voicemail call come into the hotline tonight that I missed. I got an email from Tim. He says, "Hey, Todd, since it's your job, please keep a lookout for an iOS 6 jailbreak, please. I'm tired of getting daily Google searches for an untethered jailbreak, and I'd like to upgrade to iOS 6 hopefully soon, hopefully with Google Maps." I heard there was something. I heard there was a tethered update. I think I covered it in a previous show. I have to look. Maybe it wasn't complete, but I'll definitely keep on the lookout, Tim, and maybe someone else in the audience will be able to give us an indication as well. I got an email here from James. He says, "Hey, Todd," and we're talking about Maluba, and this was the Siri-like service for Android. He says, "Hey, Todd, it has a Windows 8 look to it, but I didn't let it stop me from trying it out. It worked for the most part. I told it to play a certain song, to answer a random math and trivia problem, and it performed well. I still prefer Google now because of its sexy voice and flashy pics with answers, but Maluba is a good choice for those that aren't rooted or don't have a Jelly Bean-enabled device." So thanks for that link, and he sent me some pictures as well. Got an email here from an anonymous listener of the show. He says, and this is about peer-to-peer, and I want to thank the anonymous person from sending this in. He says, "I use peer-to-peer and infringe many copyrights in the process. He says, I got one of the DMC letters a few years ago for downloading an HBO show. Ironic, because I was a paying HBO subscriber, but I didn't have my DVR set for this show. I kept a scan of the letter as a souvenir. It was well before this new six-strike policy. It just said I violated Comcast's acceptable use policy, and continued violation could result in termination of service. What I've since done is switched to using a Seedbox, a rented virtual server in some other country with torrent software running that I can access remotely. I have to use SFTP and HTTPS, so the last mile is slower, but it has tons of bandwidth and processing power to take care of all of the peer-to-peer without tying up my PC or involving my IP. I'm saving Comcast a bunch of bandwidth too. No upstream, and SFTP impedes the burst of high-speed downstream. He says, obligatory self-justification. I rarely steal music since it's so easily available from iTunes and Amazon. He says, I do steal TV shows, but if I ever cancel my $190 a month satellite service, I'll buy the TV shows from iTunes or Amazon, since it would be much easier. He says, I steal movies, but usually only when they're in that annoying time period when they're out on Blu-ray but not yet available for rental, or when VOD buffers repeatedly versus a flawless torrent download. I've even downloaded a copy of a movie they've already bought on Blu-ray, only because the included digital copy wasn't HD and I don't have the hardware to rip a Blu-ray. So are you running a virtual server running Windows? Is that how you're doing that? I'm sure there's instructions out on the net, but I'm curious, anonymous writer, exactly how your setup is on this Seedbox. I really never looked the topic up, and if you want to give us any more detail, that would be fantastic. But anonymous writer, thank you so much for your email. I got an email here from Tim again. Say, Todd, Google emailed me early this morning to inform me that they believe my account was compromised. When I looked into the info they provided, it showed that someone had tried using some sort of application to access my Google account out of Hebei, China. Let's just say I was absolutely shocked. I mean, I would expect hacking out of Silicon Valley, but China? Hey, Tim, China's like number one place for hackers, dude. Really? Since when does China ever steal technology or hack accounts and lie about it? Maybe just a touch of sarcasm. Okay, I should have read on further. Anyways, it got me thinking about some of the things you talk about, such as flash drives and hardware made in China, and the potential for hacking software to be hidden and embedded inside. Now, I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. He says 9/11 was not an inside job. But I have to admit, when I looked at the email on my phone half asleep and made the connection between Gmail, hacked, and China, the first thought that rolled through my mind was my new Asus motherboard. If I'm not mistaken, Asus is a Chinese company, and when I picked up the motherboard at Fry's Electronics, it was a return item. When I first brought the PC to life and loaded the BIOS screen, the entire screen was in Chinese, all the words and info, and I had to crawl my way through to find the English language setting. Anyway, there's no real proof that there's a connection, of course, and I'm not even making the claim. I'm saying that it was my first thought on my mind. After all, I have never been hacked or had an attempted hack that I knew about, or that Google has warned me about, until I installed the motherboard the other day. So what should I do? Return the motherboard? Right now I'm leaning on no. I'm not made of money, and I can't really afford another one, and I don't want to sound delusional or crazy, or even entertain the thought that my machine has turned against me in that regard, but the thought is still there in the back of my mind, pretty scary. He says, P.S., what was the name of the Chrome extension again that you talked about a few shows ago, and the one that lets you surf in private? Ooh. I have to go back to the show notes and look. But here's what I do, Tim. I hate it, but I use that secondary verification. I have to have my mobile device with me, and I log into Gmail, and the time limit has expired, or I use a new device. I have to enter a password. I've really used that secondary stuff, and all my accounts are set up that way now. I'm just too paranoid at this point not to run some sort of secondary verification, and I haven't got any attempts by people to use the secondary verification stuff. First of all, they have to know the password, and if they know the password, then they still have to get the verification text, which would come. All right, got an email here from Trucker Tom. He says, hey, Todd, a man placed on no-fly list stranded in Hawaii. Yeah, how you get home from Hawaii with no not being able to fly. I guess ride a boat back, but, you know, how do you do that when there's no, like, cruise ships going between Hawaii and the mainland? Thanks for the link on that, Trucker Tom. And, boy, you just don't want to get a no-fly list when you're someplace expensive like Hawaii. Got an email here from Nears, and Nears, one of our listeners in Israel. He says, Todd, take a look at this article from TechCrunch talking about Waze, Apple Maps, Anova. Worth talking about in your next show. I'll definitely check the app out, Near. Got an email from a listener saying, advertising spam is driving me insane these days. It's gotten to the point where nine out of 10, whenever I download a freeware product, I have to jump through hurdles, carefully watching for ever-changing creative waves to deceive you into accidentally installing some other random toolbar or product, if you call it that, onto your desktop machine. I sympathize with app developers wanting to make a little money, but it doesn't mean I have to like it, I guess. On that note, the mobile ads I've come across have exploded. I mean exploded like a huge Michael Bay movie explosion. Whenever I go on my mobile phone, I'm bombarded by pop-ups, which are much harder not to accidentally click on, versus a tiny, on-purpose X in the very top tip corner. It's gotten to the point where I am so annoyed, I just flat-out refuse to use a particular website service. If I can't live without an app or simply really need it, I'll find ways around it. One app I have been using religiously has recently decided to start giving random pop-ups when you open it up. I'll support the app authors in other ways, but I flat-out... I find out will not do it by having pop-up ask me if I want to download Farmville. I become annoyed to the point where I'll have iOS close down the app completely and then reload it and find there are no pop-ups after the fact. Just little tactics like that help me fight back. In other words, I won't even click on the X to support the service and looking for alternatives. Pop-ups were not okay on a desktop. They're not okay on any mobile phone, in my opinion. Just a pet peeve. Anyway, there's my rant for morning. I'm going to get some coffee. Keep up the good work. He says, P.S., I listen to all 15 minutes of the intro to your show. I do not mind your ads at all. I'm talking about pop-ups on deceitful tactics to get you to download spam toolbars and software on your PC. If the software isn't so bad, they wouldn't have to trick you into downloading it. So I thank you for the email. And here's one thing to think about on this is that I buy apps. I don't buy download a lot of free apps. And I don't get hit a lot with a lot of these tactics these folks are using. A couple more emails here, and then we'll bug out of here for the night. Got a link here on Microsoft Surface criticism, talking about high price. Got an email here on fuel cell technology could help cut CO2. Got a link on best photos and events for the iPhone calendar app. And that's it. That's all I had for email. So anyway, thanks, everyone, for hanging out here. We had a lot of email to go through, and that took us right out pretty long on the show tonight. But as a reminder, I want you all to really consider supporting our sponsors here. They really are taking care of us and making sure that your host can still continue to do what he does. And we definitely would hope that you'll go out and try GoToMeeting and give it a trial. Do it for me. Go out and get a GoToMeeting trial. Use the promo code PODCAST. Put it on your desktop for 30 days. Give it a run for the money, and definitely give it a try. And consider picking up a product over at GoDaddy.com. That 20% off code is a really good one. Go20off2 is the code to try. And two great products and services from both of our sponsors. Definitely give it a check out. And if you don't want to do any of the sponsor stuff, become an insider. The insider really helps support the show as well on a monthly recurring basis. By going over to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Hey, you insiders, the insider mailing list is going. Let's get the chatter going a little bit. I'll help kickstart it a little bit. But all of you, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thank you for staying subscribed. And again, I apologize for the last show for being basically sick on you guys and not feeling well. And look forward to getting back to Honolulu and being back in the studio there. So from my dark and dingy but well-connected hotel room here in the heartland of Texas, it's been my pleasure to bring you tonight's show. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.